Here in the book of 1 Peter, we've been in 1 Peter 1 and 2 for the last couple of weeks. And I'll be honest with you, I'm always open to the Lord. And I ask the Lord His mind concerning this service. But it is a blessing just to go right through the Word of God and just let God speak to our heart. And the Lord definitely led me this way. And I want to talk about rejoicing in the home. Rejoicing in the home. Over there in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 6 and verse number 8, twice the Bible used the word rejoice. It said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. How many believes there's some real trials in the home in these days? Amen. Let me ask you something. Those of you that have already raised your children and they're grown, how'd you like to be starting right now in this generation? You're shaking your head, Brother Jeff. I'm with you right there. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, they're being bombarded on every side. Amen. And I want to give you some things I believe that'll be a help. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, whom having not seen, talked about in verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. How many loves Him this morning? And whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. A home that is going to be a rejoicing home is going to be a believing home. Amen. That's going to be a home where there are believers, there's Christians. And because there've never been enough cars and never been enough garages and never been enough bathrooms in a house, never been enough square footage to bring about rejoicing. That's rejoicing is something that comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God is showing us in 1 Peter that He desires and designed that there would be rejoicing in the home. I want to make a statement this morning from the depths of my heart. My purpose in this message is not to blast, but to bless. I want to be a blessing. Amen. But if you're not careful, somewhere along the way, you might think, well, that preacher's meddling or that preacher's blasting. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I stay in the book, then you ought to stay with me. Say amen right there. And I believe there are a lot of places in this old book that are being dodged in this generation. People are going around it. It's not popular. Amen. But I tell you one thing right now. I believe the rejoicing in many, many areas has dried up in the home. I'm going to be making some statements this morning. Let me make a couple of statements just by way of prerequisite. Let me just say this morning. If your home has been touched by divorce, and I say something this morning concerning divorce, I don't expect you to jump up and holler real loud, amen, but down in your heart, you ought to be saying, tell them, preacher, tell them, amen. You shouldn't be mad at me, amen. If your home has been touched by abortion, and you shouldn't be mad at me if I say something about abortion, amen. If your home has been touched by a rebellious wife or a rebellious teenager or a rebellious husband, don't get mad at me if I make scriptural statements, amen. You ought to be the ones down in your heart saying the loudest, amen, preacher. Our homes need help. You ought to be praying for me. Amen. There's some things in the Word of God here I want to look at, and I pray, God is my witness, that I can be a blessing. I can be a blessing. Do you understand, we're living in a generation where men and women sometimes have been married 30, 40, 50 years, and just give up on marriage just like that. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. We're living in a generation where if there's time when everything else is done, we'll go to church. If there's time when everything else is done, we'll pray. If there's time when everything else is done, then we'll read the Bible. If there's time when everything else is done, then we'll try to help somebody else. along life's way. May God help us this morning, not you, but us, to rejoice in our home. And I believe there's some things that we can understand will help a little bit in this passage of Scripture. First of all, let me just say this. I believe with all of my heart that we should look at the definition of a rejoicing home. What is it that defines a home? Let me say this. Who would have ever thought that in the good old United States of America, there would be an argument in the Congress as to what constitutes a marriage? Who would have ever thought? We have a Bible. A marriage is a man or a husband and a woman, a wife, amen, joined together in holy matrimony. When a man and a woman are together without being joined together, it's fornication or it's adultery, amen. And the Bible said the bed, marriage is honorable in all and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's what the Bible said. So the Bible said right here in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter number 3, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Never said anything about a wife being in subjection to a wife. Or a husband being in subjection. God, my friend, brought the home along, amen, so that we might replenish the earth. It was Adam and Eve. I read it again this morning. Not Adam and Steve, amen. It was Adam and Eve that God brought together and defined a home. And I believe, listen, that we're in a generation that is trying its best to redefine what God calls the home. And what God calls marriage. The Bible said here, it starts right off, likewise. You say, preacher, what is going on here? Why does God use the word likewise? If you back up into chapter number 2, in verse number 13, it said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You come on down there and it talks about, for hereunto were you called. Christ also suffered for us. You say, preacher, why does it use the word likewise? Because God's already talked about the servants submitting themselves to their masters. He's already talked about the Lord submitting himself to his Father, submitting himself to the cross. Amen. And he's saying, listen, that is what the rejoicing is all about. Amen. And that he submitted to the will of the Father that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. Therefore, I'll get into it a little bit later. The man should have no problem submitting to his Lord. And the woman should have no problem submitting to her husband. And the children should have no problem submitting to their mother and father. You say, when that is missing, then rejoicing is missing. Then it's no longer a happy home. How many's ever had to go to the bathroom real bad, only to finally make it to the door, and there's a sign on the door that says, out of order. How many knows what I'm talking about? You don't get between a pregnant woman and that door. Say amen. She'll say out of order or not. She's going on in. Amen. What I'm saying is there's a lot of homes in this generation that according to the Word of God, not the philosophy or the thinking of this preacher, but according to God's precious Word, are out of order. Out of order. You say, preacher, you're one of them old-fashioned people. I want to be just as old-fashioned as this old book is. I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of us don't even have to look any further than our grandparents to see how happy that they were, to see how much joy there was in their home. Some of us can look at our parents at the home that we grew up in and see that joy. But I tell you, when there was joy, there was a man where he was supposed to be doing what he was supposed to be doing. There was a wife doing what she's supposed to be doing and being what she was supposed to be. And there's children doing what God wants them to do. You see, this morning, there's the definition. It's a mom and a dad and children. Listen to what the Word of God said over here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there and read it. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. You see, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let me say this to you today. I'm not trying to be ugly and I'm not trying to be smart.
But we're living in a generation that wants to try to tear down the differences between men and women. Are you listening to me? They're even in an argument right now over the bathrooms. How many knows what I'm talking about? We want the transgenders and all that to be able to go in anywhere. The men to go into the ladies' room. I'm going to tell you something right there. I've done that one time by accident. It's not any fun, even by accident. Say amen. I'm telling you, my friend, though, there's some more of you too. Don't shine your halo. You've been in the wrong place too a time or two. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's a generation that's trying to tear down the difference. They don't want little boys to be little boys and little girls to be little girls, but they're still born little boys and little girls. That didn't change in the New Testament. Male and female. When you walk up to that nursery, it's either a boy or it's a girl. When you say to a mom that's expecting and they've taken pictures and told her what that little baby's going to be, when you say, well, what are you going to have? She don't say, I don't know. When you walk up to the nursery in the hospital and they say, what is it? They don't look out the window and say, we don't know. There's an indicator. Somebody help me. It's either a boy or it's a girl. Still. We're living in a generation that's trying to tear down the home. Trying to tear down the sexes. The distinction in the sexes. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You may not like what I'm about to say, but it's bled over into the church. Let me just say something about Bible Way. I thank God for something. I thank God. I thank my God. I thank my God. You don't have to agree with me. But when y'all got me up here and you had talked to me, I thank God that there was five men in that room to talk to me. How many's with me right there? And one of the things that's wrong in this generation, amen, is just things are out of order. You say, well, preacher, I'll tell you what, that woman ought to submit to me. Let me just say this. Not if you won't love her like Christ loved the church. Say amen right there. There's a whole lot of people that they want the benefits of submission, but they don't want to submit themselves. The Bible is teaching us here. In the precious old Word of God, there's a definition. It's defined by a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife and children. So the Bible said here, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him, him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, what's them next two words? Be fruitful. Let me tell you something about a man and a man. They'll never be fruitful. They never have been fruitful and they never will be fruitful. Let's use a little common sense in this generation. Let me tell you something about a woman and a woman. They are never fruitful, never have been fruitful, and they never will be fruitful. God designed the home. Let me give you something about how much God thinks of the home. He instituted the home before He ever instituted the church. How about that? He loves the home. He loves your home. And He loves my home. Your home's under attack. And my home's under attack. Your children are under attack. And my children are under attack. Your grandchildren are under attack. And my grandchildren are under attack. There's a lot going on in this election. Listen to me and hear me well right here. But it does matter that 2 and 2 equals 4. It does matter. It just brings me to something else. I'm a little bit all over the place this morning. That's all right. I'm just going to try to mind the Lord. One of the things that's wrong in this generation is there are no moral absolutes. Let me tell you something about that Bible. There's still moral absolutes in that Bible. Right is still right in that Bible, and wrong is still wrong in that Bible. Righteousness is still righteousness, and sin is still sin in the Word of God. I believe with all my heart, the definition of the home, they're trying to change it. The Bible said in Psalm 127 and 3, children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We know this morning that there are exceptions. You say, preacher, how can there be exceptions? Well, I'll give you one right here. Paul said to some, God gives them a gift to live alone. and they dedicate their entire life to the Lord instead of having a wife or having a husband. God gives some people, how many knows that's scriptural? He gives them the gift to live alone. Amen? There's another exception. A man and a woman get married, and things completely out of their control, but they can't have children. As I studied this morning, as I thought about preaching this sermon, that breaks my heart. It broke Hannah's heart when she was barren. But do you know something? I have to fall back on a verse that says, His ways are higher than my ways. Brother Grizzle, I'm trying to figure out why so many don't want their kids and won't love their kids, and some want kids and can't have kids. And he's with me right there. I have to put that in the hands of a holy God. I don't know why things are the way they are. I don't have all the answers. But I do know this. God has divided the home right there in verse number 1. It's a husband and a wife. And he tells us the reason he put the husband and the wife together was to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. The definition of a rejoicing home. We know over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, God said if there's a wife and she has an unbelieving husband, to dwell with him. Don't just divorce him because he's an unbeliever. That mistake's already been made. Let me say this. A believer should never knowingly marry an unbeliever. Let me say it again. A believer should never knowingly marry. Let me say this. When you do, you marry outside of the will of God. How many knows I just told the truth? And I'm going to tell you something right now. We're living in a generation when young men and young ladies get married, and whether or not the other person is a genuine, born-again Bible believer is the last thing on the list to check. I've said for years, young ladies, you look and say, he's a hunk. One day you might raise the hood just to find out he's a hunk of junk. Say amen right there. The young men look at the young ladies. I'm going to tell you something we read in this scripture. It's not what a woman wears that makes her beautiful. It's her heart. And I will say this, there are parts of a woman's body that only her husband should see. We're living in generations where everybody gets to see it. The home is under attack. The devil hates your home. And he hates mine. Of all days for Miss Eve to be sick, I need her sitting there praying for me right now. Amen. That's okay, she's home, but I'll guarantee she's praying for me. My home was under attack. Your home is under attack. Not only if we see the definition of a rejoicing home, would it be all right with you all if I just throwed that down there on the front bench? I'm preaching under a burden, a heavy burden. It might be somebody sitting in this congregation whose home is next, whose marriage is next, whose teenager is next. Oh, you say, preacher, oh, this is dangerous. Oh, that never happened to one of my kids. I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to say and a dangerous way to feel in your heart. The definition of a rejoicing home. Mom and dad and children. Children are heritage of the Lord. Baby Olivia's coming here in December, God willing. And I can't wait. It's going to be a wonderful Christmas. It would have been a wonderful Christmas without Olivia. But it's even going to be a more wonderful Christmas. Amen. More better. Amen. With Olivia. I'm looking forward to it. I want you to know this morning, in some ways, I look at this world and I think about these babies. Sister Jennifer, where it's gone to in our generation, and wondering where it's going in the next generation. All we can say is this. Let's teach them to trust Jesus. He's seen us through, and He'll see them through. The second thing I want to bring to your attention, I won't spend a lot of time here. I want to use two words, the degradation and the desecration of a rejoicing home. Degradation is the act or the process of damaging or ruining something. How many believes the world wants to damage our home, ruin our home? If you don't believe that, just watch television. Watch what's become absolutely acceptable on that television. The act of treating someone poorly and without respect. Twice in my pastorate here, there have been people parked out here on the parking lot. How many knows what I just said? I won't say anymore. Twice. Treating the house of God and the property of God absolutely without respect. The degradation of the rejoicing home. And then the desecration of a rejoicing home. The desecrate means the act of treating a sacred place or thing with violent disrespect. I believe with all my heart that's going on in this generation. The home has been being treated without respect. Let me make just a couple of statements this morning, then I'll go right on to the last thing in the message. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus, He came along, and the Jews in that day said, well, Moses gave us a writing of divorcement. How many knows your Bible well enough? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but how many knows why Moses gave them the writing of divorce? If you know, just raise your hand if you know. You're right, Brother Sam. Jesus said in the beginning it wasn't so. But because of the hardness of your heart. How many believe we live in a generation where hearts are being hardened? Necks are being stiffened. And it no longer matters what God's Word said. I'm going to do what I want to do. And a lot of people say, well, it's really my life. It's not anybody else's business. Let me say this to you. If you are a genuine born-again Christian, it's not your life. It's His. We've been bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are the Lord's. I believe this morning, let me make just a couple of statements here. Why? Why is there degradation? Why is there desecration, preacher? Why is God writing to us in 1 Peter? And He's wanting us to be able to continue in that rejoicing, even when it comes to the wives and the husbands and the children and the home. When is it, preacher, that a sacred place or thing is treated with violent disrespect? The process of damaging or ruining something. Well, if I wanted to desecrate the home and degrade the home, what I would do, I would make divorce not only acceptable, but I would make it convenient. How many knows what I just said? If I wanted to degrade and desecrate the home, I would make shacking up, fornication, not only acceptable, but I would reward it. We're living in the good old United States of America where many people will not get married because when they do, they will lose benefits. Say, preacher, you ain't got no business saying things like that. I done did and I ain't taking it back. If we're concerned about what's right in the eyes of God, the benefits are secondary. The benefit of being right with God and being able to rejoice is worth more than this world has to offer. Bible talks about the degradation and the desecration in the home. What would you do, preacher, if you wanted to degrade the home? I'd make divorce not only acceptable, but I'd make it convenient. I'd make shacking up, fornication, not only acceptable, but I would reward it. If you wanted to degrade the home, what would you do, preacher? Well, I'd make pregnancy out of wedlock acceptable, and then I'd let the taxpayers pay for it. Now you tell me, is the home being degraded and desecrated or not? Listen, you can go to prison and you will find out that probably 85 to 90% of those men grew up in a single parent home without a father. Youngins need a daddy. You can ask them where I preached for those 10 years in the prisons. I leveled with those men. I told them anybody can lay down with a woman and get her pregnant. Anybody can do that. But it takes a real man to be a father. To be a daddy. I believe with all of my heart, we're living in a generation that's trying to destroy the home. I would make the single parent home the norm instead of the exception. And then I would teach that there are no moral absolutes. If I wanted to degrade and desecrate the home, God wants us to rejoice. God wants us to build up the home. God wants us, some of us men this morning, to get up off of that pew and crawl into this altar and thank God for our wives. God wants some of the women to get up off of that pew and crawl in this altar and thank God for their husband and thank God for their children and thank God that we still know what a home is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place of prayer. It's supposed to be a place of rejoicing. It's supposed to be a place of peace. We go out into the world, the job force. Some have good jobs. I'm thinking instantly of Miss Eve teaching you, Sister Teresa. I think you're in a church setting doing what you do. But so many people have jobs, it's just like walking in among wolves every time they go to work. Amen. They cuss and they go on and they tell their filthy jokes and they know nothing about the house of God. They know nothing about the things of God. They know nothing about rejoicing in the good things of God. And the home should not be a place that's just like that when we get home. It ought to be a sanctuary to come in out of that storm. A place of peace. A place of rest. Let me give you some things. Lastly, and the last thing in the message, I see the definition of a rejoicing home, the degradation and the desecration of a rejoicing home. But I see a demonstration of a rejoicing home. You say, preacher, what is it that demonstrates a rejoicing home, a home that God can add His blessings to? The home that God will bless. The husband is in subjection to the Lord. Look here with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read just a few verses of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to let the Bible speak. Ephesians chapter number 6, chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let me stop and magnify that for just a moment. A lot of preachers want to stand and they want to talk about how that woman is supposed to submit to that man. I just read a verse that said submission goes both ways. Amen. How many knows that's right? Amen. Oh, you go in there, put your fist down, and say, I'm the man of this house. Oh, you don't even need to do that if you love her like Jesus loves the church. Amen. You don't have to put your fist down. By the way, she's going to have a lot of good input if you'll just ask her along the way. Amen. And discuss some things along the way. And then if there's still a difference, you're going to have to make the decision, man. And you're going to have to live with it. It's on your shoulders. Submitting yourselves one to another. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves. I like this. Wonder why it said unto your own husbands. I tell you why. Because we're living in a generation where they're submitting to somebody else's husband. Let me just say this. You probably already know it just in case you don't. Some of you are getting ready to go on the workforce. Some of them are going to get out of college and get out here and go to work. You better beware of that smooth talker down there at the job. You better beware who you share your problems with too. Amen. Because the first thing you know, you'll be having lunch together. Then the next thing you know, you'll be going somewhere to have lunch together. And the next thing you know, you'll be going somewhere to do something else together. You say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something right now. I've been in the ministry 27 years. I've seen it. I've not only seen it in the world, I've seen it in the church of the living God. Our church has an enemy. Our home has an enemy. Our children have an enemy. Our grandchildren have an enemy. The Bible's talking about here the need. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me just say this. Most of the time, that one verse alone will bring the rejoicing. I mean, buddy, she'll be so happy that she'll want to make you happy. Say amen right there. You love her like Christ. I dare you to. Amen. No wonder the home is under attack. No wonder. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be with holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Some women are praying that God will help their husband to love him like, love them like he does a golf club or a rifle or a shotgun or a fishing pole. How many's with me? Say amen. You say, preacher, I thought all that. There was just nothing to that. I'm going to tell you something right now. If it takes you away from the purpose of the home, there's something wrong with it. The Bible said here, sought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. Right there's another problem. People get married and don't leave mommy and daddy. Amen. God said when you get married, you're supposed to leave and you're supposed to cleave. Amen. Leave mom and dad. Cleave to your husband. Cleave to your wife. Watch what the Bible said. We're members of his body, of his flesh. This call shall a man leave father and mother, shall be joined to his wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. In a demonstration of a rejoicing home, a Christian home, a believer's home, the husband is in subjection to Jesus. Number two, the wife is in subjection to her husband. In Colossians, the Bible said in the book of chapter 3 and verse number 18, listen to what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Said it again. It's important. Ephesians chapter 5, we just read it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. In a home that God will bless and there's rejoicing, the demonstration comes about when the husband is in subjection to the Lord and the wife is in subjection to the husband. But it doesn't stop there. Children are in subjection to their mother and to their father. Listen to me carefully. How many's ever heard the phrase monkey wrench? How many's ever heard that phrase? I don't know where it come from. But I know this. Around the home, when things get to running real smooth, how many knows I'm right? Boy, the gears are oiled up just right. People are rejoicing in the Lord. The blessings of God are flowing. How many knows we have an enemy that wants to chunk a monkey wrench right in the gears? Amen? Yes, he does. And you can have six folk in the home, and it don't take but one monkey wrench to mess up all the gears. Am I right or am I wrong? Just one. God is saying. He wants to see rejoicing. And the way that we can do that and demonstrate that, the husband is subjection to Jesus. The wife is in subjection to the husband. The children are in subjection to mom and to dad. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Ephesians. So you'll know preacher's just not making this up. Ephesians chapter number 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? Then when you disobey your parents, that would make that wrong. Boy, aren't I smart this morning. How many'd rather be right than wrong? Brother Tim, a youth director down in Walkertown, North Carolina, he pastored 700 teenagers. He said, I believe that when a young man turns 13 years old, there's an alien from Mars comes down and sucks out all of his brains. And he doesn't get any of them back until he's 23 or 24. How many of us men can relate to what that pastor said? Amen. I'm telling you, when I was 13, I questioned everything my daddy did. Amen. Well, daddy, what he did? Why? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I questioned. But when I thought my friend at 13, he was dumber than a box of rocks, and I knew everything. By the time I was 23, I found out who was holding the box. I don't even know if I had any rocks in it, brother. Amen. I found out daddy was pretty sharp. He just had a sixth-grade education, but he was a sharp cookie. He knew some things about life. He had some wisdom about him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that God is saying, when the rejoicing in the home is missing, if we will examine, we'll find out why it's missing. You and I both know, most of us have done it. We've pulled up on the church parking lot. Say amen. Fussing. You know the best part about fussing? Making up. Amen. That's the best part about fussing. Amen. But it's best not to fuss at all. But all over Kingsport this morning, if it's you, I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't sitting down there at the camera when you pulled in. Amen. All over Kingsport, I guarantee you, there's families that were in one of the awfulest quarrels that you've ever seen in your life and walked through the doors of the house of God and grinned from ear to ear and said, hello, Pastor. And wonder why the Holy Ghost of the living God is grieved. Let me tell you something right now. If he's grieved at the house, he'll be grieved at the house of God. Help me. If he's grieved at the house, he'll be grieved at the house of God. You know what I pray God does with this message? I pray he helps every teenager to determine to do what they can do to make their home a castle. I pray that he helps every mother to do what she can do to make her home a castle. I pray that he takes every husband and says, Lord, if you'll help me, I want to do what I can do to make my home a castle. Let me tell you something right now. You might say, preacher, you ain't seen where I live. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You can take a pup tent and make a castle out of it with Jesus. And you can have the finest home in Kingsport and it be a hellhole without him. Amen. God wants us to see the rejoicing in the home. He gives us the demonstration. Dad's in subjection to the Lord. Mom's in subjection to dad. The children are in subjection to mom and dad. The only way that can happen is through the precious Word of God and prayer. Take your Bible and turn to
I believe it's over here in Timothy. Let me know it's Titus. I didn't write it down, but God helped me to remember. Titus. Titus chapter 2. I'm done with this. I don't know what time it is, but it'll be all right. I promise you it'll be all right. I promise you that the burden I'm carrying this morning, somebody needed this. I promise you that your pastor, I promise you, has much room for improvement in loving his wife as God loved the church and gave himself for it. I promise you that there's much room for improvement in loving my children and loving my grandchildren. Oh, he said, preacher, I thought you was perfect. You thought wrong. I'm not there yet. There's a man, a whole lot better man than I am. The Apostle Paul said he wasn't there yet either. But he's still pressing. Pressing for the mark. Titus chapter number 2, and I'm done. Look at verse number 1. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. Did you know that there are actually churches in existence that one of their favorite things to tell people is that doctrine doesn't really matter? God help us. You say, preacher, what is doctrine? I tell you what it is. It's what the Word of God teaches us. That's doctrine. Sound doctrine. The Word of God said there's such a thing as false doctrine. We should be looking at sound doctrine. The Bible said here that the aged men, number one, be sober, be grave, be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. How many of you aged men like Pastor Saul and area right there you could improve in? And the Bible said that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Watch this now. I'm going to share something this morning that we need. That they may teach the young women. Let me make a statement right here. I'm going to go on through this. We're going to read it in a minute. But there's some things that goes on in a young lady's life that I never talk to my daughters about. That's mama's job. Amen. Say amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I believe there have been a lot of problems in churches because of men trying to straighten out things in young ladies' lives that men ain't got no business trying to straighten out in young ladies' lives. Or old ladies. Listen to me carefully right here. I've met some busybodies along the way, and they were never young ladies. One woman told her pastor, said, Pastor, I need to put my tongue on the altar. He went, you reckon we got enough altar? But the Bible is using a principle right here. It talks about the young women being taught by the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Let me say something right here. We got young ladies getting married that don't know how to iron a shirt. Amen. Don't know how to cook a meal. How many's with me this morning? Don't know how to vacuum and sweep and mop. Brother Gale, thank you. He said, or make the bed. He said, preacher, are you throwing off on these young ladies? No, I'm just telling moms, you're not doing them any favor if you don't prepare them for life. Life is going to hit them square between the eyes one day, and they're not going to have a mama to do everything for them. They're going to have to do some things for themselves. And the Bible's talking about teaching them. Teach them to love their husband. Teach them to love their children. How many believes it's too late to teach them after they get married? You better be teaching them those things before they ever walk down that aisle and say, I do. To be discreet. To be chaste.
to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. How many believes, Mom, it'd be real hard to teach your daughter that if you weren't living like that? Am I right or am I wrong? You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going with this. Well, let me just show you real quickly. Go into the next verse. Young men likewise. God don't just have something to say to the ladies or the young ladies. Young men likewise. Exhort to be sober minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Let me give you something right quick, and I'm done. I've bore my heart. I don't know why. I really don't. I try to never be guilty of hiding behind a pulpit and addressing something that I know about a family. Amen. Brother Houston, if you and Sister Gwen were having problems, I wouldn't get up here and preach to y'all, but I sure would knock on your door. See if we could sit down together and pray together and work something out. That's just the way I am. But I guarantee you, in a crowd this size, somebody's home's in trouble. Somebody's home looks more like a hell hole than it does a place of rejoicing. You say, preacher, why? Well, go back with me, please, just quickly. When the aged man is not sober, and he's not grave, and he's not temperate, and he's not sound in faith, and he's not sound in charity and sound in patience. Listen to me carefully. The word of God is being blasphemed. How many knows that's strong language? Brother Grizzly put all these things in a list, and he said, I want you to do all this, because if we don't, then the word of God is being blasphemed. Think about that. The Bible said then that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, that they may teach the young women to be sober. So in other words, if the older women are not living like that, and then the older women are not teaching the younger women, then the word of God is being blasphemed. Am I in the book or out of the book? Somebody tell me. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. I was 16 years old. Mom and Dad, they owned a 1965 Ford Fairlane station wagon. It was as long as our 15-passenger van out there, I'll guarantee it. It was black. It looked more like a hearse than it did a family car. And Dad told me, he said, son, you can borrow the car anytime you need it. But how in the world can a young man, 16 years old, be cool driving up and down the road in a hearse? So I decided one day I wanted to get me a car. I bought a Roadrunner. It wasn't what you're thinking. It was a 1976 Plymouth Valari, had a bigger motor in it and a stripe package on the side of it. That's all that made it a Roadrunner. But the horn did go beep beep. But before I bought it, Brother Grizzle, I didn't have the money. Dad didn't either. The money was borrowed. Dad said, son, I'll help you. He had good credit. He said, but son, you need to understand, I can't make the payments on it. Son, I can't buy the insurance.
And he said, son, I can't change the oil in it, and I can't put gas in it. He said, son, if you figure it all out. He said, preacher, what'd you say all that for? It's part of a young man being sober. It's serious, in other words. I figured out what I was making at my three jobs. I figured this out, too. It wasn't worth it. When you have a nice car and no time to go anywhere, it was better off to go with plenty of time in the hearse. Amen? That makes relating to what I'm saying right here. I'm not alone, am I? Amen? But when Dad said that, I took it seriously. God being my helper, I never missed a payment. How many knows we're living in a generation that ain't like that? My own daughter, Charity, sitting right here. By the time that two of our children, I lent my son the money to buy two little $2,000 trucks or $2,500. I lent him the money and he paid it back as he could. He calls it the bank of Dad. Now he lends me money. Amen. But anyway, I was able, by the time the second two children come along, to get them a car. Charity's car, I'm not kidding, it cost $4,000. Elizabeth's car cost $5,000. Good little old cars. But I told them both. I said, you wreck it. You run it without oil. You're buying the next one. Charity was digging in her purse, I think. And all them people decided they wanted to stop at that red light over at the Walmart on the other end of town. But she didn't have time to stop. She was digging in her purse. How many believes Dad should have just sucked it up and bought her another one? Well, there's a few in here that understands principle. I said, honey, I'm glad you're all right. I said, you know what this means?
Yeah, Daddy, I know.
It helped you, though, didn't it, honey? It helped her. Let's take this morning the Word of God seriously and understand. Sister Della, have things changed since you were a teenager? Oh, yeah. Amen. Sister Della said, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when I was a teenager. Amen. I'm just kidding her. Amen. Amen. Your home. Let me make a statement as a pastor. It's precious to me. I need your homes to be rejoicing homes. Amen. But we have an enemy. He's trying to tear the home down. Trying his best. Be careful what Hollywood's trying to desensitize us to in this generation. Say amen. Amen. Mothers and older women, I'm going to leave it up to the Holy Ghost. But there's some things that need to be taught. How many understands what I just said? There's some things that need to be taught. Pastor ain't got no business trying to give it to the young ladies. Neither do the men. But I just laid it out in the Word of God. There's some things that need to be taught. God wants us to help one another and pray for one another. And God wants to help our homes to be a rejoicing home. How many's ever been in a rejoicing church? I mean, I rejoice when it's time to go to church now. I have ever since I've been here. I hope I can make it to heaven like that. How many's ever been in a church that wasn't a rejoicing church? You dreaded it like a toothache. How many's ever had a season in your home when it wasn't a rejoicing home? When you was at one another's throat, so to speak. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's, you know, let me say something about kids. I used to be one of them. I still are.
I'm just a little older. Only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Amen. Let me say something about kids. Watch it. They learn how to get between mom and dad and play the game. I'm going to tell you something right now. You catch your youngin' do that, you ought to be playing the game on their backside. Amen. Because sometimes the devil will use them. How many knows I just told it right? Try to tear your home all to pieces. Let's pray. Father, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that I've been obedient. God, I know this morning, Lord, that we're living in a generation, Lord, where the home is no longer important. Lord, I really believe that some of these agendas that are being built up, it's not so much about building up their agenda as it is tearing down God's agenda. I pray, Lord, this morning, speak to our hearts. I pray some teenagers would come this morning and thank God for their mom and their dad. Thank God for their Sunday school teacher, their youth director. I pray that moms would come and thank God for their husband. Thank God that they have a home where peace abounds, where they can rejoice in the good things of God. I pray this morning, Lord, that husbands would come and thank God for that precious woman that you've given them. That moms and dads would come and thank God for their children. Lord, I pray this morning that they'd pray a hedge of protection around their homes. I ask you this morning, Lord, just to work. Some are coming. Would you like to come? Maybe your home's in trouble this morning. Maybe you'd like to just stop by and say, Pastor, please remember my home. We're in a storm. I believe this morning with all my heart, God wants us to guard that that is precious. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Husbands, love your wives. Wow. Brother Dennis will turn around one day and they won't be there. God help us to love on them. Oh, you say, preacher, you put them down. You said there's a weaker vessel. No, I didn't. God did. He wants us to lift them up, strengthen them, and encourage them along the way. If you're here today and you're not saved, your home will never be a rejoicing home until Jesus is in the middle of your home. Is there someone today that needs to come and say, I want to trust Jesus. I need Jesus to be my Savior. Young man, are you saved? Are you born again? If you died today, do you know for sure heaven would be your home? Praise the Lord. Pray for me, will you? Amen. Amen. Amen.